You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 65, Balto, Street Dog. You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. We're your hosts, Morgan Stradling, Chelsea Robson, and Mason Smith.
Hi, everybody.
It is I, Mason, half wolf, half man, and I am here to save the children. Thunder tubed again. Yes, I'm on a roll.
It's been a while since we've had the thunder tube in, so I thought I'd bring it back today. Just
well, you thunder tubed me in the last episode for Lord of the Rings.
I know, I did.
Only the best zingers and the best lines deserve a thunder tube.
It's true.
In my opinion. So, for those of you who are new to the show, this is the Animation Addicts Podcast, and we are the Rotoscopers, who are your hosts. And what we do in each episode is we talk about an animated film, past or present. We just dissect it, nerd out, geek out, and have a great time doing it. So, this episode, in case you didn't get the rumblings from Mason, we are talking about Amblimation's Balto, which is going to be really exciting because this is this is one that I always really liked growing up. I never owned it, but I always really liked watching Balto.
I had never seen this movie until this morning.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I was amazed at it. I mean, I'd seen it, but never seen the movie, you know? I'd seen the cover, seen the case, and thought, oh, that'd be a fun one to watch, but I never did. So this was a new experience for me.
Well, welcome to the Balto party.
Hey, thanks.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
So shall we?
Let's shall. So we've moved from horse movies to dog movies.
Ooh, a big jump.
Yep, a big jump.
I don't know why.
A small jump for dogs, but a giant leap for horses.
True story. I don't know what inspired our horse
saga.
Yeah, our horse saga.
I don't know either, but I ran with it. I galloped with it. It was great.
And we're continuing the running and moving into dogs, racing.
Yeah, normally with our episodes, we just kind of pick a a movie and go with it. And then there's no rhyme or reason, but we're kind of on these little theme kicks right now. So once we said Balto, I'm like, well, we got to do all the other dog movies. So we're going to be, well, I'm not going to tell you what we're going to be doing next. I'm just going to tell you what we're doing now. So Balto.
From a world of incredible spectacle at the edge of the Alaskan frontier.
Let's go!
From a place where the unexpected and the extraordinary happen every day.
Come on, we catch the end of the race.
Comes the unforgettable legend of Balto.
But you can call him idiot.
Do you honestly think any musher would ever put you on his team?
He was an outsider who wasn't like the others.
Balto, wait. Balto!
Until a town needed a miracle.
Rosie. We can get that medicine through.
You said what?
Come on, mush!
He's going into freezing coldness to find a dog he doesn't like to bring medicine back to a town that doesn't like him!
In a test of will, he challenged the impossible.
You'll never get home.
I'll make sure of that.
In a race against time.
Balto, slow down!
Balto is their only hope.
They've missed their second checkpoint.
No!
Universal Pictures and Amblin Entertainment invite you to join Steel.
Touch that box, and I'll tear you apart.
Caltag and Star.
Hey, this is gonna be good.
Muck and Luck.
Well, of course we were. We were in the water. We were moving. We were swimming.
And Boris.
Oh, I was so scared. I got people bumps.
On an incredible adventure into the heart of a hero.
Not dog, not wolf, you're a hero!
Balto.
Balto was released in 1995, not in the year 19,995, as I put in the Google Doc for our notes.
Oh my gosh.
Very futuristic.
Future Baltos. Balto in space. Space. Space.
The studio is Amblination, and that you may know is Steven Spielberg's studio in the 90s. It was around just for a few years, and then it closed. It was produced by Steve Hickner, among others, but, you know, we love Steve Hickner, so I was going to call it out.
Amblination, actually, this was the last film, and this was the final film of Amblination.
Do you think it was a triumphant send-off of the studio?
That's Wolf Dog for yes.
Oh, nice. If you're interested in listening to our interview with Steve Hickner, he talks about his time at Amblimation. You can go to rosecopers.com/48 and you can hear that there. And as I was looking this up, Steve doesn't have a Wikipedia page, which I think is really a shame. Moving on to the director, Simon Wells. You may know him. He co-directed Prince of Egypt with Steve Hickner and Brenda Chapman. It's really interesting and pretty cool. And since that was sort of one of the last things that he directed. And he, you know, stayed with DreamWorks ever since. He's done a lot for them in the story department as a story artist. So very faithful to DreamWorks. Now, box office. This kind of makes me sad. I really was expecting this movie to do a little better than this, but it only made $11.3 million total.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's even lower than Rockadoodle.
Yeah, that's how you know it's pretty bad.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
It only made $12,000. You know,
That's what I was about to say. It only made $12,000.
If you want to understand that joke, go to our Rockadoodle episode, rotoscopers.com/3. And yes, that is a Rotoscopers classic, is $12,000. If you want to be in with the inside jokes, you got to go.
Oh, yeah. Start at the beginning. Just keep going.
So, you know, interesting about this is actually based on a real life story. the story of Balto. So Balto.
The story of Balto.
So much like the events in the movie, Balto, he was a dog. He was a Siberian Husky in real life. And what he did is he led a team of sled dogs on the final leg of a serum run of this, you know, antitoxin to Nome, Alaska in 1925. So the serum was a cure for diphtheria, and it was transported from Anchorage to Nenana, Alaska by train, and then to Nome by sled dogs. So a little different in the movie. In the movie, they make it seem like he's this rogue dog who just has this altruistic side of him who loves to save the children. Didn't really happen. But since that, there is a run commemorated each year, and they have a race.
Yeah, it's the Iditarod. I think Disney did a movie about it, and I think Cool Runnings is inspired by it. I'm just kidding. But yeah, quite a grueling dog sled race, and not to steal Balto's stars or anything, but there was actually another dog named Togo who did the dog sled run for the medicine. He actually pulled about five times as many miles as Balto did.
Oh, dang!
But Balto was the last one to, you know, bring in the serum, and then there's the whole thing with the ice cave and steel, you know, of course. You know, what history doesn't tell you is that there were actually two sequels to Balto, so there's a lot that history left out.
Oh, gosh. Or there's actually a statue of Balto in Central Park, which you see in the movie. If you didn't know, you might have thought that perhaps this was something they created just for the movie, but no, it's actually in Central Park, which I'm not quite sure why it's in Central Park. Don't you think it should be somewhere in Alaska?
It's in Central Park?
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's kind of random.
Yeah, it's very random, and it's just commemorating him. It's a, you know, if you see the movie, it's that dog statue that they're looking at and they finally find. Yeah, that's real thing. But
it's like putting a Rockefeller statue like in the middle of Kentucky or something.
I wouldn't
here are the swamps of Alabama. If you look to your left, you'll see the Rockefeller statue.
So another interesting thing is, if you want to see the real Balto in action, frozen in action, I would say, he is stuffed and available for viewing at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History.
Oh my.
And that's not creepy at all.
Not at all.
You know, I don't know why. I guess it's not really creepy. Taxidermy animals are totally fine, but I don't know. The fact that this dog has so much history, I don't know. It makes it seem like a real person in a way.
Yeah.
You make a lovely throw rug. Would you ever taxidermize one of your animals?
No. Unless it was something really cool like a cheetah.
I would mummify them just to kind of ensure that they ascend to exaltation, you know, the old way. But
are you half Egyptian? What the?
See, I mean, that's not Egyptian, Spanish.
See, classy.
One interesting thing about the beginning of this movie, because it goes in and it starts in live action, which was really odd to me, and all I could think about was, like, it's like Rockadoodle, but what's going on? And
totally.
Yeah, it was totally like Rockadoodle, and I felt like throughout this whole movie, I was like, oh, that's kind of like this. Oh, that's kind of like that. There are so many moments where I'm like, this movie is just going to have so many different tangents.
Well, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been like really like Rockadoodle, like evil steel animated dog could come and try to maul Grandma Rosie's grandkid as revenge, you know. And Cartoon Balto would just burst out of the Balto statue at the end and fight off Cartoon Steel, and it'd be this great thing. And but no, they didn't go that route, and so I'm fine with the intro outro in live action. But yeah, do you like it when animated films do that?
I'm on the fence, because at least this one, I don't know, I sometimes I feel like the movies, they start live action and they don't end live action. They just sort of use it as an introduction device and then it's over. But in this time, they wrap the story up. But it's so funny because you forget about this, like, old lady, Grandma Rose, right? Who, you know, she's like the main driver of the plot. And then we go back to her and we're like, oh, yeah, she was just telling a story the whole time.
Yeah, it was just weird because I forgot about it until the very end when it comes back to her. I'm like, oh, yeah, this started about, yeah. I think, at least in Rockadoodle, they kept the whole idea of there is live action to be, we're going to be going back to the live action after this, you know.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Yeah. By the way, is that the bird lady from Home Alone 2?
I thought so. I don't know if it is or not, but it's
not. I looked her up, but I was like, you're wearing like shabby clothes, kind of. I mean, yeah. I blame the 90s.
Judge.
And you're wearing a weird hat. You kind of have weird hair. And you're older. And you're in Central Park. Yeah, Pigeon Lady.
How do we even know that girl is her granddaughter, not just some person she kidnapped?
Another person stranded in New York.
She abducted. Yeah. There could be like a crossover, like Balto Crazy Grandma Lady versus Home Alone. But one thing's for sure, though, that kid needed to shut up. Grandma, we're lost at Central Park. We're in the middle of nowhere. Help! Grandma's like, shut up. We've only been walking for 15 minutes. Anywho, I'm glad we switched to animation because that kid was getting on my nerves. It's not that I hate children. I just really can't stand them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, man.
So, all the way up to Nome, Alaska, known for its gnomes. Oh. And we're introduced to Balto, voiced by Kevin Bacon. Bacon, bacon! There's no only one thing that smells like bacon, it's bacon!
Oh, man, I did not like his voice.
I didn't like it at all.
It was too rough, like Commando for a hero.
Well, yeah, and it totally went along with Jim Cummings' voice as Steel. His was really rough, and yeah. So we had like two really rough voices.
That's right. I'm the good guy. No, you're not. I'm the good guy. Under your thumb, goof.
But yeah, you can tell I really like Jim Cummings. I think this would have been the perfect film to put Matt Damon in a fitting animated role.
They did that 10 years from now. 5 years.
He was good in Titan A.E.
That's true.
He was good in Titan A.E., but...
I thought he was in Spirit.
He was in Spirit. He narrated Spirit, but I think he would have been a great Balto as well.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We can't have too many Matt Damons taking over our NBA All right. characters.
Mark Wahlberg, he's the same thing.
Okay. He's probably like 10.
Hey, speaking of voices, did you know that Brendan Fraser was going to be the voice of Steel?
Really?
Then you would have just been Grayson from The Nut Job all over again.
Nice.
Terrible villain. Well, he's not even a villain in The Nut Job.
I was really happy that Jim Cummings was kind of a lead. Because Jim Cummings really isn't, unless he's like a Disney character, he isn't a lead in an animated film. You know, it always goes to the celebrities and the stars. And just see a real-life voice actor, I was like so excited. I was like, yes, Jim Cummings, you're awesome.
That's true, and it was a young Jim Cummings from 1995, so that was even cooler. And did you know that he was also the Indian chief, Pocahontas' father from Pocahontas?
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was him.
That's a new one. Huh.
I don't know if he did his singing lines, but that was him.
Impressive.
Yeah, yeah. And but yeah, thank you, Jim Cummings, and not Brendan Fraser. Let's see. And then Balto, did you know that Balto's color scheme was actually based off of the Tramp from Lady and the Tramp?
You know, he looks, as I was sitting here, I'm like, suspicious. You look so much like the Tramp. Could they not get a different design? But
yeah, there are a lot of allusions to Lady and the Tramp. I like Steele's sausage link.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You start at one end, I'll start at the other, we'll meet in the middle.
And
I was oh, you're so sleazy. Totally ruined a perfectly good Disney moment.
Yeah.
It's interesting because Steve Hickner was a producer on this movie, and he, in our interview, he talks about how his favorite movie, Disney movie of all time, an animated movie, is Lady and the Tramp. And so I think they were trying to pay homage to this, you know, very, very great Disney movie. But some people could see this and kind of take it the other way and say, copy, But I, looking from that perspective, like, I understand, you know, they were really trying to say, like, this is one of the greatest dog movies ever, which maybe we should cover it. Yeah, so that's something that I noticed.
And then, of course, Balto has this, like, dream. He's got, oh, he's got the love interest.
Oh, Jenna, which is Jenna. The most bizarre name for a dog. I mean, I know my dog's name is Jimmy, but Jenna?
Hey.
I guess.
My dog's name is Ginger.
That's all the other
total dog name.
Yeah, our dog's name is Jane.
I know, but all the other dogs in the movie are like weird, sort of non-human names. Like
they're
Balto,
kind of they're kind of Alaskan names too.
Mm-hmm. And then she's just Jenna. All right, rock on. And Jenna's owner is Rosie, and she's so cute. She sort of reminds me of a redheaded, non-crazy Vanellope von Schweetz.
Oh, yeah.
She reminded me of Oliver and Company, the girl, the little girl off of Oliver.
Oh, Company. Yeah, Jenny.
Hmm.
And another thing about Jenna, like, so she's a red husky, which is a real type of husky, and they kind of have a reddish sheen to them, which is pretty cool. She's really pretty. And she reminds me a lot of Laddie from The Simpsons.
Yes!
The super regal dog, beautiful, you want to pet it. That's a great episode.
Are you putting on lipstick to impress Laddie? Maybe.
That's funny. I once again am oblivious to your Simpsons quotes.
It's okay.
But Rosie just broke my heart. I remember the theme of the diphtheria sickness, you know, spreading and stuff, and like, no hope for the children. Man, that really affected me as a kid when I first watched this.
Yeah.
I was like, sheesh, come on, Balto, come on, you gotta pull through.
Well, because you see the two sides of her. You see her at the very beginning when she's full of life and sprightly, and she gets the new sled and the hat, and it's
Stop.
So cute. Mush, Jenna, mush!
You're gonna make me cry.
And then, like, within 15 minutes, she's on her deathbed, literally, nice. And it's scary.
Yeah. No, yeah. That was one good thing. Like, there were a lot of moments where it was just kind of weird in the beginning of it. But then toward the end, it really did get very intense. I was like, huh, craziness. Awesome. What's going to happen?
Now, there's a lot of exposition in this movie. The first act is like 2/3 of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's got to be like, this is Balto. This is the dog race. This is Jenna. Oh, Steel's bad. You know, oh, the medicine, oh, the race, oh, they don't make it, they're lost. And then Balto's like, oh, I'm going to go on my journey to save everyone, you know?
Yeah.
But it takes a long time to get to that point.
And by the time Balto actually gets to the medicine, I'm ready for that sequence to just be like a 2-minute montage and we're at the city. You know what I mean? Like, I'm over by the time we hit that point.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, so pacing was very curious there. Now, okay, so Steel, I want to talk about him just a little bit. Did you think of him as basically Scar the dog?
I thought of him as Gaston the dog.
Oh, so he's got the mentality of Gaston, but he's got the character design.
And
Scar, I think. That's a very quintessential character design, like in shape language, you know, angular forms, kind of slinky, kind of triangular, you know?
Well, not only does he have the body shape of Scar, he also has, like, the henchmen of Scar. There's three of them. They're very hyena-esque. And there's the one that's, like, always late to the party on the joke.
Yeah. Oh, he's the Ed.
The Ed.
Oh.
I mean, that was... I can't say if it's a ripoff, because Lion King came out in 1994, and this came out a year later, and usually by that point, things are moving along, but I could see them totally adding that in, just... But I don't know.
Definitely not a ripoff. The three guys, the three like henchmen thing that's been around for a while.
Yeah,
been around for a while. You got the wise cracky one who's kind of the short squatty. Two bones on Balto. You know, and there's the one who's like, yeah, you're the most fantabulous, the most magnificent. And then there's the dummy one who's like, you're just great. You know,
the three stooges.
There's some good Steel quotes. There's when the goose is Goose is talking to Balto. He's like, don't listen to him, don't look at him, live a long life. And then the little prissy dog is like, hey, he's positively magnesium.
That's
she had some good lines.
That's another dog. That's like a complete ripoff of Peg from Lady and the Tramp. Like,
dog.
Yeah.
Nah, Peg is way smoother than this dog.
This is like your exactly like your 1920s, you know, she just has that accent, kind of Brooklyn-ish. I don't even know how to describe that accent. It's just like
she's like any of the ditzy flapper girls from The Great Gatsby.
Yeah, exactly.
And Peg from Lady and the Tramp is the one who's gotten around a little bit more. She's got that sultry voice. Did you know that Jenna's character design? I don't know how you can model a dog character design after a human, but she's apparently modeled after Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
That's cool.
But I don't see it, but that's apparently what IMDb trivia says.
Oh, nice. And we always believe that.
Yes, I say that with all confidence. You can trust everything on the internet, kids. Oh. Yeah.
One thing, okay, the next part is where, let's talk about the sidekicks. And all I could think when we got to this part was I was just, we're a couple of misfits. We're a couple of misfit nitwits. You know, it's like, what the heck is up with these sidekicks? And there's just so many of them. I mean, you have the Russian goose. Did I miss, like, why he can't fly? I really don't understand that one.
You wouldn't know unless you watched the second sequel to Balto.
Oh.
Balto 3, Wings of Change, where Boris reveals that he can't fly because he's afraid of heights.
Oh, they hid that from us.
Huh.
They did.
From later on. Ooh, okay. And then also, okay, the polar bears. Come on.
Well, the bears.
What's the point of them?
Am I right?
They needed to be cut. They were bad.
Yeah, and then why in the world did they call Uncle Waldo, Uncle Boris, Uncle? Like, why? I really don't understand.
Uncle Waldo. Boris is like, basted in vodka. I made a joke about alcohol. I agree with Morgana there. I thought the two polar bears, they were voiced by Phil Collins.
Yeah, that was weird. I was like, what the?
Does voice acting?
Somewhere some bear is calling for you. Two bears, one family. So anyway, trust your bear. It's like they have no bones. It's like in Harry Potter where instead of mending his bone, Gilderoy Lockhart just erases his bone and he's just squishy, you know. And that's how they are. They're very squash and stretch. They had their points, you know. They were just kind of little kind of token characters for Balto to kind of show his heroicism with, you know. And there needed to be some sort of emotional link with the goose. I don't know. But even their animation was kind of weird. It was like someone like took some really hard pencils and did their animation, and it was very different looking. So they were very out of place. But then, you know, how else could you? I don't know. I didn't really see their point until the big one got all wet and then he fluffed himself up and it was really adorable. So that brought him back for me.
But still, what was the point?
No. The fluff, Morgan.
Okay. The fluff. Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, voiced by Phil Collins. So yeah, there is a sidekick thing going on. I don't know why we need him.
Yeah, I would have had this been totally fine as a solitary hero's journey. He doesn't need a sidekick. He doesn't need an Abu. Speaking of Abu, he's very Aladdin in a way.
Yes.
Balto?
Yeah.
Yeah. He like goes off to his own little house and sits under his little... It's like got the view of the city and everything.
Yeah, it's basically the Alaskan version of Aladdin's house.
It is.
But it's got a great view. And it shows he shows the, you know, the northern lights.
Here, yeah. Broken glass. Let's play with this.
Then afterwards he sings Riff Raff, Street Rat, I don't buy the... Oh, no, never mind, wrong movie. Still, I think he's rather tasty.
But yeah, I do see the street rat, street dog vibe street going on.
And then the whole... I really wasn't sure of what they were trying to do as far as the... It felt like the fact that he was part dog, part wolf, it was kind of like a mudblood type relationship. And I was just like, what are they trying to say by this? Just like, obviously...
They're saying, just don't be racist. Basically. Don't be racist to dogs.
Don't be racist to dogs.
But anyway, they caught Steele stealing the sausage.
Yeah, that was...
And Steele was stealing, and Steele always steals.
That's a misnomer, because his is spelt S-T-E-E-L-E, not as in I'm going to steal, but as in the color of
So it's more, it's more of a Steele.
Yeah, so Steele, that's his new name.
My name is Steele.
No, yeah.
But what a jerk. I hate it when the bad guy gets all the good credit at the, in these movies.
Well,
I'm just like, why I ought to knock your block off,
Well, luckily he gets what's coming to him.
Yeah, what's coming to you? What's coming to you?
He's such a glory hound.
Oh gosh, I liked that reference a lot. So
there's some good animal jokes. Boris is like, I'm getting people bumps. I was like, I semi got that.
So this is the awkward middle area of the movie where we're still introducing characters and plot lines and really got a lot of exposition here.
Yeah. Well, at this point in time, it does, she's getting sick now and it just comes out of nowhere. But, there's 16 other cases of this. That sucks.
Not to mention a bunch of dogs who are all of a sudden really concerned with what's going on. There's like a chief dog in the city.
Yeah,
it's sort of like in The Rescuers, how there's what's going on in the real world of the UN and what's happening underground in the UN with the mice. It's exactly the same.
Yeah, and then it's an old Towser. It's an all dog alert. That's all I got from
it's an alert.
Right when they started doing the, like, barking around from, what's going on? Oh, this is going on. Oh.
I feel so bad for the telegraph dog. Clearly affected psychologically.
Oh my gosh, yes. He's got the tick. He's like, I'm okay.
But yeah, so it doesn't work out for the first team. Because Steele's like, no, I'm not going to have a wolf dog on my team. And then, the poor sled driver, he is totally absent in this film. But, he had to be pretty brave, too, to do this. Why don't they stuff him and put him in the museum?
Oh, gosh.
Sorry.
Because we don't at least do mummify that to people, Mason. We don't do that.
Sorry, back in Egypt, we do it all the time. Anyway,
Egypt.
And then Steele is such a jerk. He's like, no, we're not going to go anywhere because I'm the boss. And Balto's like, dude, okay, but I'm going to take the medicine. He's like, no, I'm going to beat you up. I don't like his henchmen dogs because they're like Balto's friends sometimes, but then they're not. But then they doubt. Then they're like, yeah, welcome to the sled team. And then they're like, oh, we doubt you.
Yeah, they're not good true friends.
No. But what really gets me is that Steele is just so proud and such a jerk that he's willing to scratch, send, decoy scratch tree scratchings to send those dogs out to get lost again, and he doesn't even care about the kids.
Yeah, I didn't. That was just really weird to me. Why does this dog is such a megalomaniac that he would go that far? It's just crazy.
Yeah, and then when he gets back to Nome, he's like, oh, I tried, but Balto couldn't handle the box,
that story he makes up, it's like, did he expect Balto to just die?
Probably.
And so people would believe him?
He expected them all to die, I'm sure.
He got pretty overconfident, if you ask me. Well, even Balto's not really much of a leader, an effective leader, because he's like, all right, I'm on the sled team. Woohoo, let's go. And they're like, oh, we lost Balto? And Balto's like, oh, I don't know. Let's go this way. I know the way to go. And they're like, no, Balto, you're going too fast. And then he ends up, like, falling over a cliff. And I'm surprised the medicine didn't break.
Yeah,
How did it not break?
Pretty impressive, the fact that those glass bottles were so unbreakable. They must be like Nalgene bottles.
No, they were just properly packed. Come on. These guys are professionals. They know what they're doing.
Dude, what we totally overlooked was the bear. The giant bear.
Oh, yeah.
Which had nothing to do with the plot.
they needed to get the dim-witted sidekicks out of the way because they were slowing Balto down, and they needed to whisk Jenna away back to Nome. So they needed a reason. Oh, they get attacked by a giant bear. Well, Balto gets to show off what a hero he is, and then the bears kind of get a little validation because they learn how to swim. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't really do anything for the kids, you know. But boy, that's a real bear right there. Freaking huge.
That's like almost as cool as the bear in Fox and the Hound.
If I was into animal cruelty and all, I would force the bear from this movie to fight the bear from Fox and the Hound.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
They should make like an arcade Disney platform game like that one person did on their DeviantArt and have like a ultimate animation showdown fighting game.
Nice.
You could have bear versus bear. Oh, yeah, bears.
Oh, yeah, the bear. The bears.
Polish sausage. But anyway, so yeah, the bear was kind of a thing. There's a lot of character shuffling. It's like, oh, they're coming with Balto. Oh, no, they're not. Oh, here they come again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Every day they're shuffling.
Every day they're shuffling.
But yeah. So I do remember as a kid being really touched by when Balto reaches into his inner wolf and just has a howl off with with Mother Superior Wolf or whoever comes up to say, yeah, which from what I told you about the sequel, it might have actually been Balto's mother. But that's unconfirmed. They're still investigating that, you know, Balto too. But anyway, and then what happens after that? All of a sudden he knows the way now.
Yeah, he like channels his inner wolf and he doesn't need the marks on the tree anymore to figure out what's going on, and he can just smell the way home.
Well, you know, apparently the real Balto was able to they were apparently lost, and the real Balto was able to sniff out the trail.
Nice.
So that, but he wasn't half wolf then, so that might have been a little nod to that story.
Well, doesn't that do like injustice to the true story of Balto? Because Balto wasn't half wolf, which we don't know being half wolf gives you any sort of special sniffing powers, but he was full, you know, just a great dog who was able to do all these amazing things. And I don't know.
Did he need to be half wolf though? I mean, that's my question.
Yes, because they need. Yes, because the movie needed to teach us about dog racism.
I feel like all these, the movies that they, when they try to, I don't know, this goes back to like our very first discussions on how I dislike movies that just want to put a moral in your face the entire time.
Well, think of it from like a story perspective, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to pit a man against his rival and against time, but it's another thing to pit one man against the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Or against like himself, too, because he's got his own issues, not quote-unquote knowing who he is.
And the fleas. And so story-wise, it's just a lot more interesting when you have, you know, everyone's against him. No one likes him, you know. Don't you ever feel that way, kids? Well, here's Balto, you know. So for the sake of dramaticness, that's a technical term in the industry, by the way. For the sake of dramaticness, they kind of expanded the story. So, I mean, I can see it. I don't know if it would have been any better if they just left the whole, like, filthy wolf dog out of it, you know?
Well, he might turn against us.
It did create some very good drama
from
the very beginning. And the point of tension that you could visibly see. Well, you couldn't visibly see it, but they talked about it enough where you're like, all right, I get it.
I don't know. Towards the end, I was like, okay, they go through the ice thing, and oh, there's like three ice spikes. Oh, Balto, he closes the box up and saves the stuff from breaking, and it's all good. And there's that E.T. reference, you know, with the one dopey wolf, the one dopey dog. And I was waiting for a climax. I was waiting for the end of the second act. I was waiting, and then it's just like, all right, we made it out of that spooky ice cave. And we made it back to Nome!
Yeah, woo! It was like instantaneous. The best, that's the best shortcut ever.
Like, there was no, like, okay. In my opinion, here's how I would have expanded the story. And I don't know if it would have improved it or not. Let me just pitch this. What if Balto gets back and he's going to He's going to save. There needed to be something with Steel. There needed to be closure with Steel, because the only thing that happened to him was he gets publicly shamed in front of all the other dogs.
Isn't that enough?
No. Steel did not care about the well-being of the children. You know?
Yeah.
He's nothing more than a murderer, as my friend and clone Harry Potter would say. But and then he didn't care about beating up Balto. So there needed to be recompense for that. And I don't think there was enough. His pride was hurt, which was his greatest asset, you know. But at the same time, I felt like it would have been cool if, like, I don't know, Steel, like, jumped Balto at the last second while he was going to run and see Jenna, and he tries to beat him up, you know, and kill him once and for all. But Balto, the polar bears come in and swim to his rescue. I don't know.
No polar bears.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Leave them out. No, I thought it would have been a better ending had he just fallen to his death right at that point. Were you in love with her, Beast? Would you think that she would go against you? Would she could have me? No, like, when he, like, falls off the cliff, you know, I think that would have been a lot better.
They animate little skulls in his eyes when he falls. That's how you know. Yeah. Steel should have fallen off that cliff, careened into a tree, hit a vine, and then hung himself. So that way it would have been Gaston and Clayton.
How many deaths can we roll into one?
That would have been PG.
Well, and he's going to be, you know, suspending this rock and trying to topple it over on anyone, and there's going to be a big lightning, and he's going to shriek and fall backwards.
And then
little midget dogs will come. I'm sorry, dwarf dogs will come and push her off.
Well, don't forget that we've
You know, in the Tiger handheld game, you actually play as the dwarves, and you actually physically push the witch off the cliff.
Don't forget, brilliant. We have the Vulture reunion to follow.
Dude, they'd be like Nordic North American, like Alaskan vultures. There's such things, right?
Totally.
Or maybe crows at least. But anyway, so many ways we could have expanded it. But I just thought, you know, the big problem that I have with the story of this film is that I don't understand where the climax is. You know,
I got the most payoff at the very end when you find out that it is Rosie telling the story.
Ah,
that was the most payoff for me. That was really sweet. I was like, oh, because she's like, thank you, Balto, you saved my life. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that was all worth it.
Did you expect that?
I didn't. I had no idea what was going to happen. I had totally forgotten, like I said, that this was a live action, that it started in live action. And then when it came back, I was like, oh yeah, what happened to you?
Yeah, that totally blew over. That totally got lost during the actual animated parts of the film. And it was like, mm-hmm. Whoop-bam! We're back to Central Park.
Yeah,
It was kind of cheesy. I was half expecting the Balto statue to like wink at us there at the very end. You know, like Winnie the Pooh style. And then we get this cool. At some point in the ending, I did like that cool like CG Northern Lights wolf there at the end. You know.
Yeah, that was kind of.
Yeah, it's only there for like 5 seconds.
And then it like morphs into the statue.
Yeah.
That's all they have the budget for.
You know what's an even better transition? When you go into an R&B pop remix during the credits.
Oh my gosh.
Reach,
you know,
for the light. EFY much.
Real.
This wouldn't have been a 1995 film if you didn't have that.
I was expecting it. Like, it went to the credits, and I'm like, ooh, here it is. Is this going to be good? Is it going to be awesome? Okay, it's kind of okay-ish, standard, nothing, generic, vanilla. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Reach for the light. It's like, EFY, reach for the light. And then whatever your group name was. Anyway, shout out to anyone who knows what EFY is. But yeah, there were no songs in this film, so I guess by standard animation 90s animation rule, they had to put one in at the end.
Thank goodness there were no songs.
Yeah.
This movie's so much better for it. I don't even know what the songs would be, but I can think of other kind of like C-rate animated films of the time, like Thumbelina and such, and I'm like, yes, thank you for just telling us a story with too many characters, but no songs. Those characters didn't sing, and I appreciate that.
You know, I mean, I don't know the whole story about Balto's development, but in early stages, it could have been kind of a darker movie. So they might have felt like they had to put in lovable animal sidekicks, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure all this out.
They had to work on their merchandising. They only
But
had
I don't
Balto.
Remember any Balto. I don't remember any Balto merchandising, though.
Yeah, but you have seen Balls of Fluff around, so they just pulled that off as the bears, as the polar
Balls
bears.
Balls of Fluff.
Well, so let's rate it. I'm going to start, and I'll say that I give this movie 3.5 stars. It was actually really good. I liked it, and as I didn't know if I was going to like this movie or not at some certain points, especially when it got to the all the story elements that I felt like I'd seen before, and the really confusing backstory on all the sidekicks and why there are so many sidekicks and whatever not. But still, I was like, all right, like the payoff at the end was enough for me to think I really liked this movie.
Yeah, I really like Balto 2. Not Balto 2, the sequel. I just like Balto as well. I always, when I would go back and I'd reminisce about this movie, you know, because I do that all the time. I always enjoyed the payoff that Chelsea was talking about, that, you know, Balto did something great. There was kind of a more mature element in the fact that he was actually doing something that was realistic and definitely worthwhile to society, and that he was bringing this antitoxin to the children. It was just kind of like a happy story for me. And the fact that it was based on a true story is that much cooler, because this totally could just be made up and it would work. But the fact that it's real and this is their interpretation and adaptation of that story is awesome. That being said, I'm just going to give it 3 stars. Watching it again, it didn't age. I'm not saying that it like didn't age well, but it just the fact that we were plummeted with these characters and these side characters, I felt it could have been cleaner if they just focused on a few rather than 20, with really obscure, like, you know, plot lines like, oh, I'm afraid of water and I'm a polar bear. Like, that didn't need to be there. but that was kind of standard fare at the time. So 3 stars.
Yeah. Plummeted by characters. That's a good way to describe it.
Thank you.
All right, for me, 3.5 stars. This was a good animated film. I remember really liking it as a kid, and I enjoyed watching it again. I don't know. I guess looking at it from a semi-critical standpoint, as far as the story, like the story is kind of messy, but I still love. I love Steel. He's a good bad villain. I love the goose. You know, there's some cute characters. Honestly, the bears were totally forgettable. I'd totally forgotten about them.
Mm-hmm.
Until I watched it again, like, years later tonight. Kind of a gripping true story, you know, like Morgan said, with the medicine and getting it to the kids. So I like the premise a lot, and I like kind of the feels that it gives me. You know, this is a film that I liked as a kid.
What about the animation?
I remember watching it as a kid, as with the family also, and we all liked it.
What about the animation? We didn't really talk about that.
The animation itself, it's pretty solid.
Yeah. I had nothing against it.
I remember as I was watching Jenna, like, I thought she was just really pretty to look at. And then obviously Balto was where they spent a lot of their energy. And Steel was really cool. I thought whoever animated Steel did a really great job.
Excellent villain, mate. Just a little 101 Dalmatians reference for you.
Well, all right. You want to start with voicemails?
Okay, yeah, sure. Let's see here.
Hey guys, Catherine here. I'm sort of new listener, first time voicemailer. Can I just say how much I love this movie? My cousin had this on VHS and we would just watch this all the time. And my family actually took a ski trip in January, and one day we were going dog sledding. And what movie would you watch the night before but this one? And the whole time we were mushing, my cousin and I were just like, yes, we're getting that antitoxin to Gnome. Go, dogs, go. And the humans are jerks. Steel's lame, of course. And did you guys notice how throughout the whole movie, Balto's just fixated on Rosie and getting that medicine for Rosie? And we're just like, but Balto, there's other kids that are sick too. Help them too. And so every time Balto was like, Rosie, we'd just be like, and the other children. It's just like in Lord of the Rings when everyone's all like, Frodo! Frodo! And we're just like, Sam's there, two people, and he's basically doing all the work. Anyway, can't wait to hear what your guys' thoughts on this awesome movie is. And thanks for all you do, and I'd be lost without you. Peace.
I liked that last comment. She'd be lost without us.
I like
us.
Her little comment. I like her little plug in the end. Cute.
Aw, thanks, Catherine.
I can say that I've never gone dog sledding before in my life.
Yeah, neither have I. I want to do that someday. Actually, that's something that I always wanted to do and just never got to do it. So you are way ahead of us, Catherine. Way ahead.
I might have gotten my sisters to pull me on my skateboard with her car once. That's about the closest I ever got.
Actually, I did have a dog. I bought a halter for her, hoping that I could get her to train her to mush along or just like go and pull like a little wagon, to pull one of those little red wagons along. But every time she realized that something was following her, she would flip out and she would just sit down. She'd be like, okay, I'm not moving because it's going to start following me and I don't like it. So that was a fail.
I don't know. We always had small dogs. Like we had a miniature dachshund and then we had like a little terrier. So I don't know. Maybe Morgan's little puppy will grow up to be a Balto.
Nah, not really.
No.
Hey, Rotoscopers. This is Melissa from the U.S. And I just wanted to say that I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, and I love it. And I thought it was really cool that you guys were doing a horses episode because I horseback ride. Been riding for about 5 years now, and it's really fun. I ride English. And I just have to say that my favorite horse would have to be Angus just because he's so realistic. I think he's the most realistic of all the Disney horses. I love his coloring, his fetlocks, and I also like, I thought it was really cute when he, after Meredith fell off and she was trying to get him to follow the will of the wisp. He was like, no, don't want to. They're creepy. They're scary. It was kind of like he was smarter than her. I think, I don't know, but me personally. But anyway, on a side note, I also think that his saddle is really cool because it's just like a bareback pad. And so that's my thoughts on Angus. And unfortunately, Morgan, I do have to disagree with you about Leap and Anna's horse being cowardly, because as someone who's been around for horses for 5 years, I will say that horses have pooped a lot less than wolves. So, yeah. So, love your show, and I cannot wait. I'm excited for all the coverage you guys are going to have for Ratatouille and Dragon 2. So, bye.
I actually agree with a lot of your points there. But I'm also, like I said, I'm a big fan of the big, you know, draft horses too. And I know exactly what you're talking about, Melissa. Those horses are spooked by a lot less. I've fallen off many a horse. It's been fun.
Let's do some mailbag. This one is from Braden. He says, "Hi, Rotoscopers. Braden here, longtime listener, first time writer." Well, welcome. "I hear that you guys are doing a Hercules episode, and I can't wait. Hercules is one of my favorite Disney movies, next to Mulan, Aladdin, The Little Mermaid, and of course, who could forget Frozen? Me and my sister quote this movie all the time. We especially love the line, 'Indoor plumbing is gonna be big.'" Many people criticize studios like DreamWorks for using too many pop culture references, but I love the way it is done in Hercules. The film is so 90s. I love it. I remember watching the Hercules TV show on the Disney Channel. Here in Canada, it is called the Family Channel, and loved it, especially the crossover episode with Aladdin. Ah, I've seen that one. I hate to see that this movie has been forgotten, especially since its music and characters are so memorable, especially Hades. I can't describe how much I love this movie, even if it does have its flaws. To add on to your nerdy couch discussion about Disney horses, would you guys consider Carpet and Sven Disney horses, despite them being different species. Some people do consider them to be because they take on the horse-like roles in their films. And if Carpet is considered a Disney horse, he is my favorite. Thanks for putting so much work and passion into the Rotoscopers. All of us animation fans really appreciate it. Keep up the great work. P.S. May I suggest doing an Enchanted episode? I think the movie is hilarious, and it's one of my personal favorites. Will Braden. Let's see. Sven definitely, I don't know. Sven to me is more like a cross between a dog and a horse. Like, he's got two types of personalities. Uh-huh. But so I don't know. And then by carpet, I'm sure you mean the magic carpet from Aladdin.
Yes.
In which case, no, I don't think he qualifies as a horse, but he's still a good utility vehicle type character. So he could be like a horse.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider either of those horses, just because I feel like Sven does take more of the characteristics of a dog as opposed to the horse. It does go quite well with our Balto episode today, so it works. And then also, as far as doing an Enchanted episode, yes, please. I am so okay with that. It is partially animated, and we do that too.
Yeah, we did Mary Poppins, so we can do Enchanted.
Exactly. So, thank you, Brayden. Our next one comes from Matthew. Hi, Rotoscopers. My name is Matthew. I'm 19 years old, and I'm a freelance 2D animator living in Canberra, Australia. Ooh. I have to say, your animation-related podcast is way up there with Clay Cadis' animation podcast and Steve Hullett's Animation Guild interviews. I was wondering if you heard of those podcasts before. Yeah, those are some great podcasts. I haven't ever listened to the Animation Guild interviews. Have you, Mason?
No, yeah. I really haven't.
Yeah, I haven't listened to that one. But the Clay Cadis, I mean, there's nothing better than that one. That one was super awesome. Anyways, I would love to see you guys do an episode of Atlantis, The Lost Empire, an almost forgotten Disney film that blew me away as a kid and also got me interested in doing animation. With much appreciation of what you've done, I've done this impressive logo animation for your YouTube channel. I hope you like it. Matthew. Matthew, see, this is why the fans are so cool, because he created that. So if you go on to any of the new YouTube channel videos, that is the new intro. So thank you so much, Matthew. You rock.
Yeah, we're using that logo now, and it's really cool. And also, you mentioned Atlantis, The Lost Empire. I watched it on Netflix a couple of months ago, and I really enjoyed it. So yes, I do hope that we do a Atlantis episode sometime.
For sure.
Alright guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Animation Addicts podcast. If you want to tweet about this podcast, make sure to use the hashtag AnimAddicts, which is A-N-I-M Addicts. And I think the special hashtag that we'll use for this episode, for those people who got all the way to the end so they can show off to their friends, I think it should be hashtag Street Dog. What do you say?
Ooh, Street Dog sounds great.
I mean, I really hope that isn't being used on Twitter right now.
Street Dog, Wolf Dog.
How about Glory Hound?
Ooh. One vote Glory Hound, one vote Street Dog. I don't know. I think Street Dog would be fine.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of other people Hound using that.
Oh, yeah.
There is?
Glory Dog? No. No one's using Glory Dog. So
Glory Hound.
Oh, Glory what? Hound?
Hound.
Yeah.
Oh, they're definitely not using that. Oh, what? They are.
Oh, all right. Street Dog.
Glory Dog, because there's no one using that, and it really, you had to listen to the end.
Okay. Glory Dog. So if you want to show off to your friends that you listened to the very end, just do use the hashtag Glory Dog. For any of the show notes, you can head on over to therotoscopers.com/65. You can also find us on Hypeable and Animated Views. Subscribe to us on iTunes, people, because that one's going to help us a lot. If you like this podcast, if you think, hey, the Rotoscopers, they're pretty cool, definitely go and subscribe on iTunes. It helps everybody. It helps, you know, iTunes find us more. It helps more people find us. So
it helps all the children. it's like giving a vaccine.
Think of the children with diphtheria.
Exactly.
See now we're going to get ragged on for not doing any charity. any charity runs like other online personalities.
Hey, one step at a time, okay?
We're not there yet.
yeah. But yeah, seriously, leave your feedback on iTunes, you know, if you're like, hey, that was a pretty good podcast. 10 out of 10. If you feel that way, then let us know on iTunes. Leave a review.
You can also find us on Stitcher Radio. And so if that's what you use, go there.
I do use it, and it's awesome.
I do like Stitcher as well.
Because you don't have to actually download the episode, which I think is great. Because I have very limited space on my phone. So Stitcher is awesome for that.
Now, we also had a couple voicemails today. If you want to leave your voicemails, head on over to rotoscopers.com/voicemail. Or you can call 406-646-6575. And leave us all of your comments, your questions, concerns, or cries of outrage. That's where you go.
Yes, and priority will be given to voicemails that start with, "Aww!"
For real.
I will know my wolf brethren have come to communicate.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to this episode. Our next episode is going to be Pixar's Up. This is
all
one of
right.
our Yeah. This is one of our most requested episodes, and it's actually we had a kind of a an online poll for a while, and so this is one that we plucked from that. You guys wanted it, and we are delivering. It's funny, because on Twitter, after we announced that we're doing this dog series, we got a bunch of tweets, and people totally skipped over Balto. No one was excited for Balto, but everyone couldn't wait for Up. You know, we got a lot of feedback. So definitely send us your voicemails about that, and we'll be sure to play them on the show. And last but not least, we are doing a t-shirt contest. Whoop, whoop. We are breaking into merchandise, guys. We're on our way to becoming the next Disney and the multi-million, billion-dollar global empire. We're starting small with t-shirts. But we need your help. We want this to be kind of a group effort, and so we are soliciting ideas and shirt designs for our first t-shirt, which we'll be selling on the website for you to consume and show off to your friends and be like, Roto what? Rotoscoper, that's what. And you can wear your shirts, and yeah, it'd be pretty awesome. If we ever do meetups, we can all wear them. Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. So for all the information about that, be sure to go to rotoscopers.com/t-shirt contest, and you can find everything you have until the end of April, the last day of April, to send us your t-shirt design. All the info is in that link.
And don't forget, folks, you can always find us at our individual social media locations. There's Morgan Stradling at Twitter, at Morgan Stradling, and then at Chelsea Robson, that's her Twitter, and then ChelseaRobson.com will actually take her you to her Facebook. So that's cool. And then I have a Twitter as well, at Mason, SMTX, just Mason, San Marcos, Texas, just think of that. At Mason, SMTX. I also have a blog, but I haven't, like done anything with it forever.
Mason, do you remember when you didn't have Twitter?
Oh, the dark times.
Those were dark times.
When I had... Actually, it wasn't dark times. It was just more time that I wasn't checking Twitter every 5 seconds.
Oh, we've corrupted you.
No, I like Twitter a lot because, you know, I get to talk to fans and listeners and fellow animation lovers, more like it. And also, I get to keep up with the day-in, day-out lives of animators and people in film. So I think it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
I'm looking at it right now.
Mason, focus. Focus.
What? Oh,
we're two
right,
minutes
right.
away from the end.
Podcast, right.
So thanks for listening, guys. Until next time, we are the Rotoscopers.
Morgan, stop.
Sorry, it was funny. Okay, sorry, that can go in the bloopers, but continue, Chelsea. I won't laugh. I'm muting myself.
Oh my, once again, nobody cares. A funny story, when I moved into the house that I'm living in right now, there was a family that lived here beforehand, and we walk up into the attic and just kind of look around, see what they left behind, because they're still like most of theirs, a lot of their stuff is still kind of here. And I look over on this table at the side, and there's a full-fledged carpet of a bear, like the bear carpet. And I'm like, what the heck? So we ended up putting it in the coat closet. So now anytime anybody ever opens up the coat closet, they get to say hello to Baloo. Freaks them out every time. It's awesome. I feel like none of my stories are ever funny.
I'm so sorry. I took a phone call during that because I'm recording at work, and Jared was like, where are you? I'm like, I got late, so I just decided to record at the office.
He's aww, like, what a great guy.
Sorry, Chelsea, you can tell that story again, and I'll listen.
And we'll laugh. Sorry, I was texting.
Nobody cares!
No!
It's like, oh, it's Chelsea's telling it's not a that story. We don't... This is your time to
it's
clue out.
It's not that
out.
We don't like you.
No, Chelsea, normally I never take phone calls, but you know when it's your husband and you're missing and he's worried about you, it's...
Whatever. Oh, moving on.
Chelsea's like, sure, just you married people can just ignore us single people. Sorry, Chelsea, I was instant messaging Jana.
Okay, for real, tell us again.
No, yeah. I'm done.
Dang it.
This is gonna be like on the best of for
yeah,
this year.
Yeah, totally.
We're so sorry, Chelsea.
Oh, it's a good thing it's raining because I'm crying inside.
No.
We love you.
You know we didn't respond just because we were talking to our spouses. I'm sorry, Chelsea. Don't cry.
Once again. Once Chelsea starts talking, it's time to clue out, whatever.
Oh, brother.
Balto, stuffed and available for viewing in Cleveland.
That was pretty funny. A bit long.
Playing Disney Scene It together. Morgan and I had this dream of playing Disney Scene It over long distances.
We're
because
such
I
nerds.
Really think. No, I really think I could take her.
No
but
way.
It would be a challenge.
I have Disney Scene It in Arizona.
I have the deluxe
version. I can go get. Oh, never mind. Sorry, Chelsea. Mason's way cooler.
I just got outdone once again.
Under your thumb, goof.